What if I told you the single most expensive mistake elite media buyers make is just hitting copy-paste on a winning campaign?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Right.
Yep.
Like you see a competitor crushing it, you rip their exact funnel, you plug it into your tracker, and you just wait for the numbers to go green.
Yeah, but instead of scaling, you just bleed cash.
Exactly.
It's really the ultimate illusion of the swipe file. I mean, behind the screen, a high-converting campaign is never just a standalone asset.
Right.
It's a highly engineered, meticulously calculated psychological system. So when you copy just one piece of that system without understanding the underlying mechanics, well, you're essentially setting money on fire.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tearing into a highly specialized advanced guide from Edviti.
Yeah, a really fascinating document.
It really is. And it's aimed squarely at elite affiliate marketers building dating funnels. But, you know, even if you have no idea what CPL or RevShare mean, this deep dive is completely essential for you.
Yes.
We're basically uncovering the invisible psychological architecture behind how things are sold online. The mechanics we're breaking down govern how digital behavior is shaped across every single vertical.
Because we're looking past the superficial elements here. I mean, a marketing campaign might look technically perfect on paper. The load times are fast, the offer is proven, the creatives have high click-through rates.
But it still fails.
Right.
Yeah.
The ROI remains entirely negative, and we really need to dissect why those hidden structural leaks occur.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with that massive swipe file trap we just mentioned.
Yeah, the borrowed funnel.
Exactly. So a media buyer is lurking in spy tools, mapping what's hot. They spot a pre-lander that's been dominating for 6 weeks, and they rip the exact code. They host it, they run it. But a month later, the original creator of that page is still printing profit.
While our copycat is scrambling to pause their campaigns.
Right. It's like taking the steering wheel out of a Ferrari, putting it in your Honda Civic, and wondering why you aren't going 200 miles an hour. You copied the part, but you totally missed the engine.
I love that analogy. And our source material actually features a brilliant post-mortem from an account manager on this exact scenario.
All right, the Q2 data.
Yeah. During Q2, this AM watched over 20 different affiliates copy the exact same winning pre-lander, and the affiliates just assumed the page itself held the magic.
Which is a huge assumption.
Huge. And by week 3, only the original creator remained ROI positive. I mean, every single copycat had completely washed out.
Because they copied a brilliant punchline to a joke, but completely skipped the setup.
Precisely.
They didn't know what traffic source the creator was buying. They didn't know what specific user objection the ad was addressing.
Or how the post signup flow was being monetized.
Right. They stole a gear, but missed the whole engine.
And that right there is the core of funnel thinking. You don't look at a web page and ask, does this look good?
What do you ask then?
You ask, what specific psychological job is this stage doing? The original creator had calibrated that pre-lander to bridge a very specific gap between their traffic source and the final offer. If you strip away that upstream and downstream context, well, the page is fundamentally useless.
So to build that engine properly, we need to look at the universal anatomy of these systems. And we're talking about a 5-stage architecture here.
Right, the 5 universal stages.
Stage 1 is the ad, which just buys attention and sells the click. Stage 2 is the pre-lander, shifting the user from casual scrolling into active intent. Stage 3 is the landing page, demanding the formal decision.
Stage 4 is the sign-up flow, converting intent into data.
Yeah, and stage 5 is the retention loop, where the actual lifetime value is generated.
And out of all of those, the source zeroes in on stage 2, you know, the pre-lander, as the critical failure point. It's basically the most common stage for marketers to skip.
Which seems crazy.
It is, but they skip it entirely because they misunderstand the underlying psychology of the user journey.
Okay, wait. I have to challenge the necessity of that stage, though. I mean, isn't adding an entirely extra page just adding more friction?
It feels that way, sure.
Yeah, like if my ad already convinced them to click, shouldn't it just send them straight to the landing page to close the deal? Putting a speed bump there just seems counterproductive.
What's fascinating here is the concept of psychological temperature. When a user first encounters an ad on a social feed, you know, their temperature is incredibly low.
Right, they're just scrolling.
Exactly. They are in a passive consumption mindset. So an ad might trigger curiosity, but it doesn't create a buyer's mindset. A landing page, conversely, demands a massive high-friction decision. Mm-hmm. It requires them to actually type in personal data.
Right. It's like walking up to a complete stranger on the street and immediately asking them to marry you.
Yes, you're demanding a massive commitment from cold traffic.
So the pre-lander acts as, like, the coffee date beforehand.
Yeah.
It's that low-stakes environment where you build rapport, establish context, and warm up the temperature so the final request actually feels natural.
That behavioral metaphor is entirely accurate. If you skip the coffee date, the user bounces the second they hit the landing page.
Makes sense.
And the fatal error marketers make is looking at their tracker, seeing massive drop-offs on the landing page, and incorrectly assuming the landing page is broken.
Oh, wow. So they spend weeks testing things that aren't even broken.
Yeah, testing headlines on a page that was never the problem. The true failure was sending freezing cold traffic into a high-pressure environment. Yeah. I mean, the pre-lander is just a mandatory ramp.
And the guide actually categorizes these ramps into four distinct psychological archetypes, which I found really interesting.
They're highly effective.
First is the story pre-lander. It operates entirely on first-person narrative to mimic organic word of mouth.
Building deep emotional identification. Yeah.
Right. The user reads, I was struggling with this, I took this action, and here's my result, and they project themselves into it.
Then you have the quiz pre-lander, which leverages the sunk cost fallacy. You present 3 to 5 really low-friction questions.
Because the physical act of clicking those answers builds momentum.
Right. Exactly. By the time they reach the final question, they've actively invested effort. They are psychologically primed to see their customized result. The friction of the landing page is basically neutralized by their own curiosity.
Third is the editorial pre-lander. This borrows the visual language of a news site or a blog.
Instantly transferring third-party credibility.
Right. The user lowers their guard because they feel like they're reading objective information, not a sales pitch.
And fourth is the social proof pre-lander. This one is deployed specifically when dealing with offers that carry inherent friction or, you know, shame.
So it just bombards the user with reviews and testimonials.
Yeah, geographic proximity markers, reviews, all of it. It serves a very specific function, which is granting permission. It tells the user that people exactly like them in their exact city are already taking this action safely.
And the structural secret to all four of these archetypes is something the guide calls the handoff line.
Oh, this is crucial.
It is the single most important sentence placed right before the final call to action button. Instead of a generic click here, this line restates the user's implied internal decision back to them.
Because it acts as a cognitive bridge. If the pre-lander has done its job, the user has already decided they want the result.
Right.
The handoff line explicitly connects their desire to the button, eliminating the cognitive load of deciding what to do next. But the tragedy is that media buyers routinely bury this transition line in dense blocks of text.
So someone skimming on a phone completely misses it.
Exactly. It's rendered invisible.
But the pre-lander only works if the initial impression correctly framed the user's intent, which pulls us all the way back upstream to stage one, the ad.
The entry point.
Yeah. And the Advitti guy draws a sharp, unforgiving line here between a creative and an angle.
This distinction is what separates the elite from the amateurs. The creative is just the superficial execution, right? The specific image of a person, the color palette, the typography.
The wrapping paper.
Yes, the wrapping paper. The angle, though, is the underlying psychological premise. Who is the target? What's their most acute pain point? What specific emotional state are we leveraging?
So a flawless creative will just fail spectacularly if the angle doesn't resonate with the audience.
Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the angle must adapt to the mechanics of the traffic source itself.
Right. Context is everything.
If you're buying push traffic, those notifications arriving directly on a home screen are an interruption. So the angle has to be rooted in pure curiosity to break their focus.
But native traffic, you know, sitting at the bottom of a news article, catches the user in a reading mindset. So the angle there requires an editorial narrative-driven approach.
And social traffic relies entirely on identity and aspiration. You can't run an interruption-based push angle on a social feed.
No, the user will just scroll right past it. It doesn't align with the psychological state they're in while browsing their network.
The guide backs this up with some amazing specific examples of angles dominating the EU Tier 1 mature dating markets.
These are absolute masterclasses in diagnosing an emotional wound before the click even happens.
Let's talk about the invisibility reversal angle. It targets older men who feel buried by algorithms on mainstream dating apps.
Right, because the underlying wound there is a profound sense of isolation. So the angle attacks that wound visually by using map-based proximity graphics.
That's not just promising dates.
No, it provides immediate visual evidence of local abundance. It reverses the narrative from I am invisible to I am surrounded by immediate opportunities in my own neighborhood. That psychological relief generates the click.
Wow. Then we have the age-as-asset angle. This tackles the deep-seated identity crisis of feeling too old for the modern dating pool.
Which is a huge hurdle.
Huge. And instead of trying to mask the user's age, the ads utilize user-generated POV-style videos that completely reframe that liability into the main value proposition.
They explicitly state that maturity and gray hair are the exact traits being sought after. It totally validates the user's current identity.
And consider the normalization angle. Mature dating often carries a lingering sense of stigma or shame.
Unfortunately, yes.
So this angle adopts a new style, objective format to strip away that isolation. It clinically validates the user's desire for adult connection, framing it as common, healthy, and entirely private.
The genius there is that they aren't actually selling the features of a dating platform. They are actively selling dignity and validation.
But once that psychological lock is achieved, the user is violently pulled back into physical reality. We move from the theoretical elegance of the funnel into the brutal constraints of the hardware.
The physical environment is the ultimate blind spot for campaign managers. I mean, funnels are architected in comfortable offices on high-resolution desktop monitors.
But that's not where the traffic is.
Not at all. The data is staggering. In wealthy, highly developed Tier 1 countries, mobile traffic exceeds 67%.
And in Tier 2 regions, that metric rockets to nearly 87%.
It's a completely mobile world.
Designing a funnel for a desktop experience means optimizing for a ghost town. The entire psychological architecture has to be compressed into a one-thumb-scrolling experience with a maximum attention window of, like, 4 seconds.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this hardware reality makes Stage 4, the sign-up flow, an absolute minefield.
Because the threshold for friction on a phone is practically zero.
Exactly. The source data shows that demanding anything beyond 4 or 5 fields causes an immediate, measurable hemorrhage in conversion rates.
What about email confirmation?
Oh, mandating an email confirmation step. That single requirement instantly obliterates 20 to 30% of the acquired users.
Because minimizing out of the browser, opening an email app, finding the link, and waiting for the redirect is just an eternity in mobile time.
Every extra tap is just an opportunity for the user to wake up from the funnel spell.
Which is why the account managers at the networks possess insights that spy tools can never see.
Right. An AM can see the internal metrics when a network subtly introduces a new compliance step. Say, an additional terms of service checkbox required by a payment processor.
And what happens?
That single microscopic point of friction can quietly kill 15% of all signups across the board.
That's incredible. There's also this massive socioeconomic disconnect in how these flows are tested. The media buyers building these systems are using the latest flagship iPhones over fiber optic Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they experience seamless instant transitions.
But a huge percentage of their target audience is on mid-range Android devices using congested 3G or 4G networks.
If an affiliate does not physically load their campaign on a $200 Android phone, they are entirely blind to the latency, the formatting breaks, and the true user experience that is destroying their margins.
So assuming the media buyer actually masters all of this, they nail the psychological angle, the pre-lander warms the traffic, and the mobile optimized landing page captures the data flawlessly. The user is in the system. But the funnel doesn't end at sign up.
No, not at all. And this transition from CPL mindsets to rev share realities completely shifts what happens next.
Okay, let's break that down. CPL is cost per lead, right?
Right. Under a cost per lead model, the affiliate's responsibility ends at the sign up. The monetization is immediate and user quality is the network's problem.
But modern elite operators focus on revenue share.
Exactly. Rev share, where the affiliate earns a percentage of the user's lifetime spend. So stage 5, the retention loop, dictates the ultimate ROI. The behavior of the user on day 3, day 7, and day 30 is what determines profitability.
So what does this all mean?
It means the integrity of the initial ad dictates the lifespan of the customer. You have operators who employ a send anything strategy.
Right. They'll use the most aggressive, deceptive angles imaginable just to force the click and get the initial sign up.
And when that user logs into the actual platform, which is likely just a standard subdued dating interface, the cognitive dissonance is immediate. They were promised an adrenaline-fueled experience and were handed a library card.
And the source explicitly warns that this tactic doesn't just result in a bounced user, it poisons the entire cohort of users.
Because the affiliate artificially spiked the user's expectations so high that the actual product can never satisfy them.
The user feels manipulated, they never pull out their credit card, and the affiliate's rev share drops to zero.
The upstream traffic quality and the honesty of the angle strictly govern the downstream monetization. Long-term profitability requires engineering an angle that perfectly aligns with the product's actual retention mechanisms.
That structural alignment gets incredibly complex when operators start scaling campaigns across international borders, though.
Oh, absolutely.
The assumption that localization just means running ad copy through translation software is a fast track to negative ROI. Localization requires complete psychological re-engineering.
You are not translating words, you are translating cultural intent. The guide contrasts two specific European markets to demonstrate this perfectly. Look at running campaigns on Meta platforms in Italy, a prime tier one market. The source data proves that dignity-first framing heavily outperforms desire-led angles there.
The cultural mechanics behind that are just fascinating. The target demographic there is older men embedded in highly dense traditional social networks where public reputation is fiercely protected.
Right, so if an ad implies that the user is lonely or desperate, it triggers immediate defensive mechanisms. Engaging with that ad feels like an admission of social failure.
So to penetrate the Italian market, the angle must elevate the user's status. The platform has to be framed as a reserved, dignified space for discerning adults.
It removes the threat of social ruin and replaces it with exclusivity.
Now pivot to the DACH region. You know, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, or the Nordic countries. The primary emotional driver completely shifts.
Public dignity is much less of a lever than financial autonomy and fairness.
Yeah, these populations have a profound sensitivity to financial exploitation and subscription traps.
So an angle screaming, sign up for free, sets off immediate alarm bells in the DACH region. The audience inherently understands that nothing is truly free, and aggressive marketing is viewed with deep suspicion.
So the angle has to prioritize transparency.
Yes. The messaging, the crust signals on the pre-lander, the clarity of the sign-up flow, they all must reinforce that the user retains absolute control over their data and their wallet.
If cultural framing radically alters the entire entry point of a campaign, it fundamentally dictates how an operator must structure their testing matrix. With endless variables, running blind A-B tests is a waste of capital.
The Advitti guide establishes a strict, unforgiving, ultimate testing hierarchy for this.
The order of operations is basically the difference between scaling and failing.
Exactly. The hierarchy begins with the largest lever, the angle.
Because a fundamentally new psychological angle can drive 200 to 300% swings in performance.
Right. The angle must be validated before a single dollar is spent optimizing anything else.
Once the angle proves it can buy attention profitably, step two is testing the pre-lander archetype.
So you test a quiz against a story against an editorial. You are testing entire behavioral pathways, not minor textual tweaks.
Then step three moves to the landing page, specifically optimizing the visual hierarchy above the fold.
The immediate elements the user sees before scrolling. Only at step four do you test the creative. Once the angle and the pre-lander are locked, you iterate the specific images and videos.
And finally, step five is copy details. Modifying button labels, swapping adjectives.
Single-digit lifts, basically.
Right. So if the angle is the primary engine capable of driving 300% swings, why do so many campaign managers begin their optimization process by A-B testing the color of the submit button?
This raises an important question about human behavior within the industry itself. Marketers gravitate toward testing button colors because it is frictionless. Changing a hex code requires zero intellectual effort.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But analyzing human psychology, diagnosing cultural insecurities, and engineering a cohesive behavioral angle, well, that requires deep empathy and rigorous analysis.
It's just vastly easier to manufacture the illusion of progress by running a split test on a green button than to confront the reality that the core psychological journey is broken.
The illusion of progress versus actual progress.
Which brings us directly to the core maxim of this entire deep dive. The absolute golden rule pulled from the Advitti guide. Engineered funnels build funnels. Build the discipline, not the template.
Because the specific tactics, the compliance workarounds, the visual trends, those elements will degrade within months. But the underlying discipline of funnel engineering, those five stages of migrating a human mind from passive consumption to active intent, that will remain the foundation of digital commerce indefinitely.
Because human psychology doesn't upgrade with a new iOS release.
Precisely. And I want to leave you with a framework to apply this week. Based on how meticulously engineered these systems are, consider the calculation behind the emotional temperature of a pre-lander.
The diagnosis of those insecurities.
Yes. The frictionless design of a mobile sign-up flow. I want you to look at your own digital behavior.
Oh, this is going to ruin my internet browsing experience.
It should make you highly observant. The next time you find yourself entering your email, downloading an app, or making a so-called spontaneous purchase late at night, trace your steps backward. Ask yourself, was that decision genuinely spontaneous?
Or were you just perfectly guided through the invisible architecture of someone else's meticulously engineered funnel?
Exactly.
That is a brilliant lens to view the web through. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.